Ottawa is requesting an additional $32 million from the government as half of the city's homeless shelters are now occupied by asylum seekers and new immigrants.
Canada Post refused to handle firearm collections for the Trudeau government's gun buyback program following the 2020 Liberal ban.
A 74-year-old tax expert known for her civic engagement and youth empowerment has surprisingly become the most notorious woman in Quesnel, BC. Hello, Canada. It's Wednesday, April 24th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm Isaac Lamoureux.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. As the city of Ottawa asks the Liberal government for an additional $32 million to house the growing surge of asylum seekers, new data shows half of the capital's homeless shelters are occupied by new immigrants and refugee claimants. In response to an inquiry by Councillor Alan Hubley, city officials revealed that as of December 31, 2023, 47% of single adults in Ottawa's homeless shelters were newcomers to Canada. In 2023, Ottawa experienced unprecedented highs in the number of newcomers accessing our housing and homelessness support system, the response reads. The city's single adult shelters have seen a 47% increase in new clients since last year, with a 360% increase witnessed among newcomers. Additionally, Ottawa has 235 homeless families staying in motels and campus residences. Last week, Mayor Mark Sutcliffe called on the federal government to fund a welcoming center for the growing asylum seeker population. We'd love to hear from the federal government on funding for a welcoming center for those individuals who are arriving in this city, said Sutcliffe prior to the release of the federal budget. Ottawa has requested $12 million for the federal government in the form of capital costs, and additionally requested $20.6 million for ongoing operations. So this is really a double-edged sword situation, because on one hand, you have Canadians who are homeless being pushed out of the shelter system because there's simply not enough spots for them anymore. And on the other hand, you have new immigrants coming to Canada and finding out that they have to live in a homeless shelter as their first experience. This isn't really benefiting anybody, the situation. So what's the solution here, Isaac? Should Canada pause taking in asylum seekers completely until the housing situation returns to normal?
Well, Cosmin, I almost want to start by apologizing to the newcomers that are finding out Canada is not at all what they expected. Not because I'm at fault, but just because I almost feel bad for them. Lots of people are immigrating to Canada, an unprecedented amount, as True North has previously reported, only to find out that it is not at all what they expected it to be, and this country's cost of living crisis is not something that can be underestimated. We've seen the videos circulate online of these newcomers expressing their grim tales that Canada was unable to provide them the lives it once promised. Canada pausing its influx of asylum seekers would not only help Canadians with their housing supply shortage and cost of living crisis, but also the asylum seekers themselves. I can't imagine any of them dream of coming to Canada and being homeless. Almost the majority of those who reside in homeless shelters in Ottawa are newcomers, as you said, Cosmin. There has to be a better way, doesn't there?
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that's worth noting is how many of these asylum seekers are actually here on legitimate grounds. We know that a lot of people take advantage of Canada's open border. They simply cross into Canada. Some of them have the means to afford plane tickets to the United States or Mexico and make their trek up here. So I question whether a lot of these people, or what percentage of these people, actually have legitimate claims that will lead to them being granted asylum status. Because if they're illegitimate migrants, then they have no reason to be in this country, and they're actually harming the social services available for residents who are already here.
The Trudeau government's gun buyback program hit another roadblock as Canada Post has refused to take up the task of collecting the firearms prohibited by the Liberals' sweeping ban in 2020. Government sources told Radio-Canada that the feds expected Canada Post to be involved in the collection of the 144,000 now banned assault and military-style firearms, as the Crown Corporation is already responsible for delivering guns purchased by Canadians online. However, Canada Post is declining to do so, saying in a recent letter to Ottawa that it is concerned for the safety of its employees, who would have to be the ones out knocking on doors. Canada Post is worried about potential conflicts between staff and gun owners who are frustrated with the confiscation of something they purchased and owned legally. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau promised the implementation of a buyback program in both the 2019 and 2021 elections. The deadline has been extended twice. The Liberals now hope to finalize the program before the next general election, scheduled for October 2025. Federal officials said that Canada Post would be the least costly and most efficient avenue to recover banned weapons. The Trudeau government wants the owners of banned guns to secure them in government-issued boxes unloaded to be sent back to the government for disposal, at which point the owners would be financially compensated for the cost of the firearm. While government discussions with Canada Post remain ongoing, the sources say that the government is confused by the Postal Service's apprehension surrounding the task. Cosman, the government claims that this program will be implemented by its target date, but have they even purchased one single gun from Canadians?
No, they haven't even acquired one weapon, and people aren't willingly giving them away. But yet they've somehow managed to spend tens of millions of dollars in this entire process, I'm assuming on consulting fees and paying government workers to craft this gun buyback program. Yet Canada Post isn't even willing to do this for them. They don't want the job. And who else is going to go around collecting guns? Are they going to send the police to do it, take them away from patrolling the streets and keeping Canadians safe? It's really outrageous. And somehow they expect that people will voluntarily give up their weapons. Based on what grounds, and what will happen if they refuse to? So it's like every other Liberal program. You know, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau promised to plant billions of trees. He failed that. We're not even on target yet. He's promising to build over one home every single minute in Canada. And these are all outrageous promises. And there's really no pathway to get there. And he knows it. He's just trying to better his outcome in the polls and get reelected again.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
A 74-year-old tax expert with a passion for civic involvement, community affairs, and empowering local youth has bewilderingly become the most notorious woman in the small city of Quesnel, BC. "I'm really afraid to go out right now," Pat Morton said in an exclusive interview with True North. "When I come to work in the morning, I used to park out back, and now I park right beside the door so I can get right in. At home at night, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for my safety." Morton has been facing fervor online and in the Quesnel City Council chambers for the apparently heinous act of recommending a best-selling book. Morton, who is the wife of Quesnel Mayor Ron Paul and herself a former city councillor, was surfing Amazon for books to read and came across Grave Error: How the Media Misled Us and the Truth About Residential Schools. Morton ordered a copy of the book, which is a collection of essays debunking the mainstream narrative that the Indian residential schools of the 1870s to 1990s were institutions of genocide. Grave Error, which was edited by C.P. Champion and Tom Flanagan, was published by True North. She read some of the essays in the book and, being the civically engaged citizen that she is, donated some copies to the local school district and passed along a copy to a fellow community member, Connie Goulet, whom she had known for over 30 years. Morton wanted Goulet's thoughts on the book. Connie is the mother of Tony Goulet, a city councillor who identifies as Métis. During a March 19th council meeting, Tony Goulet appeared to be choking back tears as he claimed that it was very, very, very traumatizing and very, very, very disrespectful to an Indigenous community for Morton to have handed out the book to her acquaintances. Council, including Morton's husband, Mayor Ron Paul, condemned the book, which they admitted they hadn't read. The Cannell Board of Education also denounced the book. So we've actually spoken about this story in the past. One of the authors and Pat Morton appeared before city council at a very turbulent meeting, and they were essentially denounced by a majority of the councilors and were even denied a chance to speak and make their case. And it's obvious when you watch that meeting and the subsequent fallout that a lot of these people haven't actually read the book. They make claims that the book denies abuses that happen at residential schools, which isn't the case. The book actually admits it. But they debunk some of the false claims that have come out over the years, especially with the recent announcement of finding mass graves at these residential school sites, despite there not being a single grave dug up. So why would anybody denounce something that they haven't informed themselves about?
Yeah, Cosman, I suppose I'm not entirely surprised that counselors denounce this book with what is essentially prejudice and uninformed criticism, considering they themselves haven't read the book and were not even aware of what it contained. This reaction by the counselors, disagreeing with something because the mainstream narrative tells them to, not because of any evidence or fact, reminds me of something that I came to learn about during the pandemic, which is eerily comparable. This term is known as consensus-based science, where the validity of a claim or policy is based on agreement among experts rather than direct scientific evidence or data. This, of course, was relevant in the pandemic when doctors and leaders said, trust the science, regarding the safety and effectiveness of vaccines, which was, of course, not based on evidence or data, but instead consensus-based science. Just because something is the norm or pushed by the mainstream media does not make it fact. Grave Error, on the other hand, is a collection of essays that are built on facts and debunk the lies told by the mainstream media about residential schools and them being institutions of genocide. I'm curious if any of the counselors would actually change their tune if they read the book. Also, it's sickening to know that someone could fear for their safety in their own home and in public for doing nothing more than recommending a best-selling book.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.